Chairperson, honorable members, I think the members have been favored with the UMASI presentation. And once more, thank you for the invitation. We're going to be talking to the state of readiness to quality assure the November 2019
National Senior Certificate Examination. That's what we'll be focusing on. The presentation is going to be focusing on the UMASI mandate and regulatory framework. We're going to be looking at the framework for quality assurance of assessment. We're going to be looking at the UMASI state of readiness approach. we'll be looking at the findings of the state of readiness to conduct, administer and manage the 2019 National Senior Certificate Examinations, and then we'll conclude. I'll share the presentation with Memar Luis Madalani, who is a senior manager for quality assurance of assessment for schools. And in the room is also Mr. Andy Tulo. He is the man who crisscrosses the whole country to ensure that the exams are ready to be run in the country. So he's here, he's helped us to compile the report. He's sitting right in the corner there. And you can see the way he has put his spectacles, he shows that he's a quality assurance man. He's a quality assurance man.
And the dress code also.
The dress code also. Chairperson, maybe first of all, about the UMALUSI mandate and regulatory framework. According to the National Qualifications Framework Act, number 67 of 2008, we as a quality council must develop and implement policy and criteria for assessment for the qualifications on our sub-framework. With regard to quality assurance within the sub-framework, we have to do the following: develop and implement policy for quality assurance, ensure the integrity and credibility of quality assurance, ensure that quality assurance, as is necessary for the sub-framework, is undertaken. Another act that governs our work, the Genfedco Act, Section 17A, says the council must perform the external moderation of assessment of all assessment bodies and educational institutions, and also that the council may adjust raw marks during the standardization process. This has been a debatable issue. We've been given the mandate by the Act to do standardization. We have had the opportunity with the previous portfolio committee to workshop them on standardization. Chairperson, I'm saying we're going to be standardizing, there'll be debate again, and should this honorable committee wish to invite us to come and give orientation on how we go about the standardization work, we will be willing to come to give that that workshop. Now, the Act goes on to say the Council must, with the concurrence of the Director General, and after consultation with the relevant assessment body or educational institution, approve the publication of the results of learners if the council is satisfied that the assessment body or education institution has conducted the assessment free from any irregularity that may jeopardize the integrity of assessment and its outcomes. Complied with the requirement prescribed by council for conducting assessments, applied the standards prescribed by council, which a learner is required to comply with in order to obtain a certificate, that they have complied with every other condition determined by council. What we are saying there is that there will be no results that can be issued in this country without UMALUSI having approved them to say everything is above board. So when you hear IEB announcing the results, the minister announcing the results, you'd know that UMALUSI has given its stamp of approval for the release of those examinations in terms of their credibility. Now, I'm going to quickly talk to the framework for quality assurance of assessment. Those would be the focal areas that we look at schools, adult centers, and technical and vocational education and training colleges that we implement and employ to ensure that the examinations are of the required standard. First of all, we moderate examinations question papers. Every paper that is written would have received the UMALUSI stamp of approval. Practical assessment tasks and common assessment tasks in the case of live orientation. We monitor and moderate school-based assessment. which in the case of the National Senior Certificate constitute 25% of the mark. We monitor the state of readiness to conduct, administer, and manage examinations. That is why we are here, to report on the state of readiness of the system to run the examinations. We monitor the conduct, administration, management of assessment and examinations processes. We monitor and moderate marking. We do verification of marking. We go to any center. We send our specialists to go and check whether the markers are marking according to the marking memo. Where they are not doing so, their scripts are recalled and proper directives are given that proper work has to be done on the scripts of our children. We manage the concessions and examination irregularities. Where there have been examination irregularities, we want to satisfy ourselves that proper investigations have been done and proper adjudication on the situation has been done. We standardize the assessment outcomes. As I indicated earlier on, we have been given this mandate by an Act of Parliament. We approve the publication of the results of learners if we are satisfied as a council that the assessment body has conducted the assessment free from any irregularities and there's nothing that will jeopardize the integrity of the examinations. Once everything has been done, we certify the results and the learners get their certificates. With your permission, Chairperson, I'm going to hand over to Memory Luis Madalani, Senior Manager for Quality Assurance of Assessment for Schools, to go on with the presentation.
Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you, Honorable Members, and thanks to my boss here. This year, again, we conducted a state of readiness across the assessment bodies to find out whether they are ready to conduct the end-of-the-year examinations, and we have done that, and today I'm reporting on the state of readiness of the DBE. The state of readiness approach that we followed this year is different from what we have been doing throughout the years. We have adopted a risk analysis approach, and we did not only look at the state of readiness of the assessment bodies now towards the examinations. We have implemented this from the beginning of the year because we realized that sometimes we identify issues at the end of the process, of which then the assessment bodies do not have time to fix those. So throughout the year, we're looking at their systems that will then inform how ready they are for the end of the year. You'll hear throughout the presentation instances where we had to deal with issues earlier in the year and gave them feedback on how to deal with those. So the approach was in different phases. Phase one, there was documentations that we requested from the assessment bodies, their annual management plan, which from that we will see when are they doing what and how can we then intervene at that time. We also asked for their improvement plans because at the end of each year after we have done our quality assurance processes, we provide them with directives from what we found out from the previous examinations that these are the things that you need to put in place so that going forward your systems are going to improve. Then they must present us with an improvement plan on how they are going to deal with that, and we monitor that throughout the year. And they also then present us with their own self-evaluation report. We ask them to evaluate themselves and give us feedback on that. And the DBE goes around the provinces doing the reviews on the different provinces, and we require the DBE to give us that information as well because it will also assist us when we analyze the risk in the different provincial departments. We did a desktop on those documents I've spoken about, and we were able then to come up with a risk analysis, which then informed our going out into the provinces. Because during the year, we do the desktop on the information, but now, just before we came to the portfolio committee between September and October, we went into the different provinces, like they said, and crisscrossed the country to then go and verify those issues that we found to be risky and what we communicated that they need to correct, and what the DBE also informed the PEDs to improve on. We went out to verify if those were then put in place. But however, even if that was done, we still found some issues that at our meetings with them during this period, we still emphasize that those things need to be corrected, and those are the issues that I'm going to be talking to. The phase three I've spoken to. the progress reports, these are the documents I've just, we've just indicated when did they submit what, and from those, that's where we then put together our risk analysis. And on the slide number 10, I have a snapshot, which is a summary of all the findings that we then put together to can determine the state of readiness of the DBE. The DBE and the PDEs, they've all finalized their registration, which is very important because candidates need to be registered to write examinations. And to date, all candidates are registered with unique examination numbers, and those are linked to examination centers. We know which candidate is going to be writing where. The said question papers for the forthcoming examinations were moderated and approved by the end of August 2019. The PEDs commenced the selection and appointment of marker personnel in May, and Umalusi was involved in this because after they've appointed their markers, they gave us a list of who they have appointed, and we went out to audit those markers if they were appropriately appointed and they did have the right credentials for them can be to mark our scripts. Umalusi verified the capturing of the June 2019 senior stiff examinations, like I've alluded to earlier on, that the process was conducted throughout the year. So for us to be aware and sure that they will be able to capture the marks of the candidates at the end of the year, we couldn't wait for that process to happen. So fortunately, there was this intermediate examination where they wrote the June exams, and then we then went out when they did the capturing of the June examination to check on their systems. How do they do the capturing? How do they verify that correct marks are being captured? How then do they submit those into, feed that into the system for resulting, so that when we certificate those candidates, we show that the assessment bodies are able to do that. And from the findings that I'm going to be presenting to you, you'll see what we found. And the following were found: the lack of consistency with the signing off of mark sheets and alterations on the mark sheets. Remember, like I said, this is what we observed in June. And these are the findings that we then presented to them. And later on, you'll see what measures did they put in place to correct this for the end of the year. Manual verification of marks by one person without being verified by another official. That is one risk that we can be left with. It was observed in the provinces that are indicated, but as I speak, provinces, some of them you'll see they've put measures in place to address that. Evidence of errors in the use of code 999 and 444 was observed in the Eastern Cape. Shortage of data capturers in the Eastern Cape was noted, and this has a potential to delay submission of marks on the set dates if not addressed in future. The PDs have committed to address these challenges by November, like I've said. Another issue, we've also conducted an audit of System for Quality Assurance of Internal Assessment, which is the school-based assessment. This, because it's also part of the final resulting mark, it's important that it is done correctly. And we also have verified that. In the following PEDs, Free State, Mpumalanga and Northwest, it was found that the DBE draft policy for quality assurance of SBA was implemented appropriately. Through this policy, the PEDs were able to apply the outline guidelines for moderation of SBA. Furthermore, it was clear from the audit that the four PEDs, Northwest, Free State, Gauteng and Mpumalanga, also have systems in place to support the schools where there was evidence of rejected SBA marks from the statistical moderation of 2018. As we do our standardization, there are chances that certain institutions or certain schools' SBA marks can be rejected. And that information is cascaded back to the PEDs, back to the schools, and we found that the PEDs have put measures in place to assist those schools whose their SBA was rejected. Again, Umalusi identified a number of unaccredited independent schools who were registered as examination centers. You must be aware that for a school to then write an examination, firstly it has to be accredited, rather it firstly has to be registered as a school, then be accredited by Umalusi to offer the qualification, and thirdly be registered as an examination center. So in our audit we found certain independent schools who are registered but they are not accredited. Hence, they not cannot be registered as exam centers. But the provinces have put measures in place. They've come up with what they call designated centers, where those candidates will write the examination so that the department can take responsibility for those candidates. But we are in communication with them that that should not be a process that goes on. If an institution, it's not accredited, it means it cannot offer the qualification. So there should be intervention measures put in place that they, in fact, in the first place, they should not offer that qualification. Unlike us allowing them to offer the qualification only to come later and stop them from examining the candidates. Now the findings, as per the focus areas that we have put in place here, before that, let me speak to the registration of candidates. Those are the figures that we received from the Department of Basic Education as on the 30th of September 2019. The number for full-time candidates that we expect them to write this year, part-time candidates, total number of exam centers. I guess the members have seen that in the presentation. I'm not going to be reading them out. And each provincial education's registration statistics is also covered there. Notable decline in the number of part-time candidates that entered to write the 2019 November NSC exams as compared to the 2018. Over 706 candidates will write the National Senior Certificate Examination in Eswatini as at a designated center. 99 candidates are registered to write the South African Sign Language, and marking of sign language will be conducted centrally in Pretoria. Registration of exam centers nationally, we've got 495, which is 4.6% of 10,818 exam centers have been identified as high-risk centers. So when we say it's a high-risk sector, it means certain criteria that the department has put in place, they do not meet. Now, during the examinations, the assessment bodies have to put extra measures to make sure that in the writing of those examinations, irregularities do not occur. And we're happy that they are able to classify the center so that we know when where the resources will be put in place. And even us as Umalusi will know where to focus, since we're looking at a sample. And if we know that these are the risky places, those are the centers that we will definitely have also to monitor. Now, for more information on the SASL home language examinations, there are centers that are going to be writing that. We've got them in Eastern Cape, Free State, Gauteng, KZN, Limpopo, Northern Cape, and Western Cape. And all the centers have been audited by the PEDs. You may know that there are special facilities that need to be in place for an institution to conduct the whole South African Sign Language, home language examinations. And it's important that then these centers need to be verified that they will be capable to do so. In Gauteng, we've got the examination going to be taking place in Philadelphia, and in Limpopo, in Setotorani, and in the Northern Cape at a school called Ritameleng. Whilst the following will be exposed to SAL examination for the second time, the first three that I've just mentioned is their first year of writing this, and the list that I have below that, those ones did write SASL in 2018. And here we've got a slide that explains the difference between the time allocated to a normal examination as compared to the examination for SASL candidates. You can see they've given a concession. They've got extra time as compared to how the normal examination is conducted. And that gives the number of candidates per center. In total, it makes 100 candidates that will be writing SASL home language the same. Now, according to each of the focus areas, how then is the department, how did the department fare this year? Our first focus area is management. How is the management ready to conduct this examination? The audit highlighted with great concern the levels of vacancy rate in critical areas within the examination directorates in the following assessment bodies or provincial departments. In Limpopo, Northern Cape, Mpumalanga, Free State, KwaZulu-Natal, Northwest, and the Eastern Cape. There's a serious shortage of staff in the examination units in those provinces. However, the PEDs, when we discussed this with them, they've put measures in place to mitigate the shortage. like staff is prepared to work overtime or take additional work so that then the examination work does happen. Anyway, they also did tell us that they have advertised the posts, which they have not filled as yet. However, in Limpopo, the filling of vacancies may not be addressed in the short to medium term due to a directive issued by Treasury indicating that appointment of school-based educators must be prioritized above appointment of staff in the department. So instead of them appointing people for this examination unit, these appointments will be going directly to appointment of teachers. Registration of candidates, like I've indicated initially, the registration is complete. Process for registration of candidate with immigrant status has been finalized as well, and they looked at all the issues that a candidate needs to have or satisfy for them to be registered. Use of identity documents for registration of candidates was evident. However, there are still candidates who will still write examinations without IDs. Progressed learners with status to modularize have been identified across the PEDs. PEDs have measures in place for the verification of candidates from grade 11 to 12. You may know that the qualification is a 3-year qualification. For a candidate to write grade 12, they should have gone through grade 10 and grade 11 for them to be in grade 12. So we have seen that the provinces are able to track that all those candidates that are writing this year have satisfied that criteria. School-based assessment, the following were observed. Staff complement shortage of teachers in most subjects with a practical component, especially in music and in dramatic arts in KZN. Support to schools, shortage of subject advisors for technical and technology subjects for support and effective monitoring of implementation of SBA in schools, again, KZN, and the Eastern Cape. Inadequate monitoring of SBA in independent school as well as centers. In Eswatini, like I said, there are candidates who are writing exam in Eswatini. That center is under KZN, and it was observed that they do not get sufficient monitoring for SBA. As in 2018, internal moderation of technology and technical subjects at different levels still remain a challenge in KZN, Eastern Cape, and Limpopo, due to shortage of curriculum advisors and subject experts. Then the real crux of the exams, printing, packaging, distribution of question papers. Some PEDs have outsourced the printing of the question papers to the government printers, while others have opted to do it internally. And it is worth mentioning that high security measures are displayed by GPW for printing. The PEDs demonstrated through evidence-based approach significant upgrade noticed at printing sites across PEDs that opted for in-house printing. For instance, in-house state-of-the-art printing infrastructure is utilized by some PEDs. Scripts will be stored electronically and in hard copy. Full-scale rollout of the electronic system for scanning and archiving of scripts is planned for some PEDs. Central monitoring system at head office will be implemented to monitor all district offices, the nerve center and nodal points for the installed CCTV cameras in the PEDs. Furthermore, PEDs may strive in strengthening the following aspects: management plans for printing and distribution of examination material, quality assurance of received consignment prior to commencement of the printing is taking place, measures to allow for accurate printing for question papers are in place, daily storage of question papers when printing is in process and is monitored. Strengthening of security, there is a commendable effort by PEDs to ensure that all staff involved in examination undergo security clearance. However, in instances where the PEDs have applied for that, first step in the process of vetting, it was noted that there are delays in the process of the application due to a high volume of applications as experienced by the vetting agency. PEDs have signed declarations of confidentiality forms with all their staff members. Enforcement of double locking system is one of the principles that has received immediate attention in 2019. This I think I need to explain. Double locking, it doesn't mean the safe has got to have two locks, but it has to have two key holders. It's two locks, two different people. One person cannot open the two locks. That's where the examination material is stored. So when they're going to open that, both people must be present. You know, it's just like the bank account of the club where two people must sign at the bank, not one person. The level of security at the strong rooms across the printing warehouse have been beefed up. However, some strong rooms were found not to comply fully with the criteria outlined in the protocol for norms and standards for security of exam material. The PEDs were advised to store the exam material only in the storage points that meet the criteria as outlined in the norms and standards for security of exam material. PEDs have what we call storage points, and after the verification, those that we declare they are not according to criteria, then the PEDs were discouraged that those ones you shouldn't use this one. And all these things that I'm talking about, when the examination will be now running, we will be going back to find out if they then have implemented those issues. If a place is declared null and void for use, we shouldn't find them using that space. Conduct of exams, the improvement of monitoring systems to ensure effective conduct, admin and management of credibility has been evidenced across 9 PEDs. There is a hierarchy of the monitoring levels. We've got the PED staff that is going to monitor. We've got the district. We have the regional. We have the school monitors. So all those are in place. We have plans. We have seen plans in the different provinces that they will be monitoring so that there is always a monitor on site at a greater percentage of the schools when the examinations are being written. The demonstration in the enhancement of training. Also, those people that are going to be monitoring, they've been trained to do so. They have to understand how they're going to deal with the issues on the ground. Provincial invigilator training has taken place in most of the provinces as we went out, because it's also important for the invigilators to understand their role. That when you invigilate, when you encounter an irregularity, how do you deal with that so that everything is according to the regulation. Compulsory compliance directives across PEDs, resident monitors will be deployed to all identified. Like I said, there are those centers that are considered to be high risk. In those centers, the principals cannot be the chief invigilators. Hence, the PEDs are putting in place resident monitors that they appoint themselves and give them the responsibility to take care of those institutions. Pockets of enhanced and innovation on system was noted in the following PEDs in the Western Cape. A video was put together as a practical exercise for demonstration during the training of invigilators. Senior invigilators were appointed for all the 479 exam centers to assist the chief invigilators, because common practice is that we have a chief invigilator who becomes the main custodian of the conduct of the examinations, but in the Western Cape then they have appointed somebody to assist those as senior invigilators. And in Mpumalanga in 2019, the PED will be rolling out full-scale scanning of scripts across examination centers. And this we find it to be very important, since sometimes after the examinations, we do get requests from provinces that certain scripts went missing. But now if they are scanned, they are able to identify actually where the challenge happened. Each script that leaves an exam center will be scanned. When it arrives at the storage point, it's scanned. When it goes to the marking center, it's still scanned. Then they will be able to track all those things. The chief clerks across the 68 circuits in MP received training on the usage of the scanning system, and that was done on the 2nd of October. The PD used annual inclusive examination Lokhotla to inform all personnel involved in the examination-related activities as an advocacy for delivering a credible examination. Their exam Lokhotla was an accountability platform where the districts were afforded an opportunity to present the state of readiness of their districts. Remember, it is important that the foot soldiers should have a buy-in in whatever the province is talking about. So the districts were given an opportunity for each of them, after having done their own verification, to explain themselves as at Lokhotla. Marker selection and appointment. Like I've indicated, it's already done. We have verified that. And we have found a few issues that need to be addressed. Evidence of shortage of markers in key subjects with high enrollment at the time of the audit, as indicated below in the Northern Cape. Shortage of agricultural science markers who can mark the Afrikaans scripts. And the PED was requested to indicate to Umalusi how the agricultural science Afrikaans scripts will be marked, because after we have identified that shortage, they need to tell us how they're going to deal with it. Shortage of markers reported in History Paper 1 and Paper 2, English Home Language Paper 1 and Paper 2, Setswana Home Language Paper 1, Paper 2, and Paper 3, as well as English First Additional Language Paper 2 and 3, that's the Northern Cape. In Western Cape, at the time of the audit, the PED had a shortage of markers of History Paper 2. Gauteng, in Gauteng, there's a shortage in English Home Language Paper 3. And in Mpumalanga, the PED is commended for securing adequate markers across all subjects. And in the Eastern Cape, the PED is commended for quality appointment in most subjects and the inclusion of pass percentage as a criteria that's over and above the criteria that's required. They put it at 60%. However, due to shortages, the PD had to relax the criteria from 60 to 40 in cases where subjects, where there were shortages of experienced markers. The PD had experienced a huge number of shortages in English 5, physical sciences, life science, including shortage of Afrikaans markers. But they are making arrangements with the Free State Department so that it can assist them with marking some of those subjects where they lacking experienced markers or fully qualified markers for that. In KZN, the PD had not conducted the quality assurance by the time we visited them, but we will receive their information. The PD is commended for appointing health officials who will provide health service at the marking centers. At all their marking centers, they will be putting health services personnel on site so that in case of any eventuality, they will then be there to assist. Mark capturing, management plans were developed and data capturers were appointed. Good infrastructure in the capturing centers and adequate security measures were in place. Remember this, I said, it's part of what we observed when they were doing the June examinations. The plans captured in detail the process flow of mark sheets from marking center to the capture centers was evident. Good tempo of capturing was identified during the SC capturing of marks. The standard operating procedures, SOP, are being developed by the DBE, which will assist the different processes provinces to have a similar process in dealing with that. The establishment of structures to deal with examinations and assessment-related irregularities. Remember, I indicated that when the examinations are conducted, sometimes there are irregularities that are identified, and there are structures that are put in place to deal with that, and that's what the CEO was saying, alluding to that before the results, the assessment bodies are allowed to can release the results, we look at these processes, whether they have done that, and they've got different structure at national level, structure at provincial, the PEIC, structures at the district, which is the DAIC is down there. All those structures are in place in the provinces, and so far we are happy on how they conduct those. Right. I think I've come to the end of my presentation. It's now the turn of the scene.
Chairperson, I'll do the concluding slide quickly. And what I want to emphasize is the fact that whatever directive we give to the Department of Basic Education together with its provinces, the directives are taken seriously. And we have observed this over the years. And with our verification of state of readiness conducted on the 11th and completed on the 1st of October, 11th of September to the 1st of October 2019, we are satisfied that the department has put measures in place to run credible examinations, and we appreciate that. It would be frustrating for a quality assurance body to pronounce on areas of weakness and identify things that have to be corrected, only to find them not corrected. At DBE,
is doing very well in that regard, in the sense that the colleagues take the matter seriously. On that note, Chairperson, tomorrow we'll be holding a media briefing on the state of readiness of the assessment bodies. That includes everybody. It will be for the Department of Higher Education and Training, Department of Basic Education together with its provinces, Independent Examinations Body, Independent Examinations Board, South African Comprehensive Assessment Institute, and Benchmark Assessment Agency will be commenting on their state of readiness to run the examinations. I thank you, Chairperson and Honourable Members.
Thank you, Tata. Any... We are ready, that's what we are saying. We are ready for the national examination. What is the TA caucus saying? Because I see it's is it not agreeing? We are ready. Honourable Mayatezu, Honourable King, Honourable Advance, Honourable Suwela, in that order. Welcome, Masabalala.
Thank you, Chair, and also thank you to Malusi. I know that you run the examination like a well-oiled machine, so I have no problems with that. I just want to find out, you know, I had queries, I know I spoke to you about that, about the business studies, but, you know, there was a school or a couple of schools in KZN that were not happy with the results that they received from their... from the business studies examination, because they were off the idea that, like, you know, their learners, they had very good predicates, but yet they didn't perform very well. So I just want to find out, you know, the query that they actually brought was the fact that, like, the textbook that they used was not the same textbook that was used by public schools, because I presume it must have been a private school. And so they felt that, you know, the teachers or the markers that were marking those were more aligned or biased to the memorandum from the public school textbooks. So, I mean, those are the issues that I think I raised with you. I don't know if they also raised with you. And apparently the business studies, does not for the first time, even the previous year, they've seen a decline in the pass mark of learners. So I just want to find out, like, you know, what remedial actions have you put in place to ensure that this doesn't happen, or if what did you identify in that issue? And also, has the department, you know, you have established apparently a new panel of examination of business study examination for 2019. And I just want to find out what was the reason for that. Did you have anything to do with the fact that the results that you received, there's a decline of the pass mark in 2018? What was the reason for it? And also, from the same group, what was concerning was that there was a form that was sent. I'm gonna give it to you. It's a form from the Department of Education that the teachers would fill. To say, you know, they are available to mark business studies. It was particular for business studies, one of the people. But what was actually alarming was that on this form, there is a part where it says, are you a such member? It asks you, are you a principal, are you a deputy principal, and then it asks you, are you a union member, and then a SATU. So I think, like, things like that we have to be aware of, because then, like, you know, it doesn't say, are you a teacher, what are your qualifications, but it just says directly, are you a such member? And that was from KZN. Thank you, Chen. And Eastern Cape as well, apparently.
Honorable King.
Okay. I'm glad Honorable Machesi touched on that, because my question was going to be the composition of the selection panel of markers, who actually sits on there. Because you'd find in the Eastern Cape that if you don't belong to a particular trade union, you might not make it as a marker. Hence, you can actually find it. That is one of the reasons you would find we have a shortage of markers in the Eastern Cape, because they do not fit into the criteria in most cases of being a SATU member. I know of this. Also, you have 495 high-risk exam centers. What criteria is put in place to ensure that exams run smoothly at those 495 high exam centers for the upcoming examinations? Yeah, basically that's it. Don't have.
Yeah, the report is well appreciated, and we can see that we are ready. Earlier you spoke of the unaccredited independent schools on slide 12, that there's a plan B by the department for those candidates to write examinations. But the question is, where does it end? Do you leave it there, or would you make a follow-up on whether they would continue operating or not as they are not accredited? The second question is also on the issue of, you know, the unforeseen circumstances, more especially in our township schools, where there's a lot of mushrooming of service delivery protests, where they will also disturb, you know, examinations. Is there also highlighted as one of the risks that will affect the examination process, and what is the plan if that comes? Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'm not sure whether in the application forms of the markers, is there a need for people to disclose to which union they belong to? I'm not so sure about that. But anyway, it's fine. The other question that I would like to know, just in the case of Limpopo, where you talk of the provincial department taking too long to resolve cases, what then happens to the learners that are alleged to have conducted such or committed such irregularities? Is what recourse does Umalusi have to enforce that these cases are speeded up and resolved? And then the shortage of markers. I'm surprised that we get a report that there would be a shortage of markers. Are we saying that there are a shortage of teachers that can mark the subject? Because my take is, if subjects are offered in school X, obviously there should be a teacher who is teaching that subject. So then, how come we have got a shortage of markers in any way? Because I believe a teacher can be trained at any given time to mark the subject. And well, on Mpumalanga, we hear of this innovation. It's a good thing, the scanning of scripts, so that they know where perhaps the script may disappear. But what happens on the day the scanners are faulty?
You are done?
Yeah, I'm done.
Oh, okay. Let me hand over to you then.
Thank you, Chairperson. What happens, and this will cover all the members, is that all the weaknesses identified in the report that Mema Dalani has just shared with us will be sent to the DG in writing before the commencement of the examination, and to all the SGs, you know, province specific, to say in your province here are the weaknesses, please attend to them before the examinations commence. And then to the DG, it will be for the whole country. where we have done this previously, we have seen them jump into action to correct the situation. Because we can't just go into an examination having identified the weaknesses and we keep quiet about it and we just go to the media and make a media statement about it like we are going to do tomorrow. So we write letters to the SG to say to them, in your province, here are the areas that you need to address, and to the DG for the whole country. Now, indeed, the problems of Honorable Machesi, the problems of business studies were brought to our attention at the beginning of this year. We have engaged with the department in that regard. But as to whether they've been able to provide the textbooks to these other schools, the Mind the Gap textbooks that were used to set the papers, I'm not sure. We still have to verify that. Out of this meeting, we're supposed to have held that meeting with the DG yesterday morning to finalize this thing of business studies. But the DG on Sunday evening told me that he has been called to Cape Town. So we could not meet yesterday morning at 8 o'clock. Monday? What is today? Oh, Monday. Okay, anyway, one is confused because of the different time zones between Cape Town and Johannesburg. I'm getting confused. But having said that, we're supposed to have met on this thing of business studies to say those schools are beginning to knock at our door to say, are there guarantees that we're not going to have a recurrence of the problem that we had last year? And I'll be talking to the DG now. We have a teleconference later today in the afternoon to finalize this matter and to give appropriate answers to the schools to say we have taken care of this and that area. Because in terms of provisioning of stationery, we don't do it. And textbooks, we don't do it. The department does it. So we have to verify from the department whether they have done it and what kind of response do we give to the schools. That is very important. We'll be doing that. And if this honorable committee wants feedback in that regard, we can also favor you with correspondence to say this is how the matter has been resolved. I'm not able to pronounce with confidence until I would have spoken to the DG. In terms of marker bias, the markers mark according to an approved memorandum. And that memorandum has been signed off by Umalusi. The Umalusi external moderators have to ensure that the marking memorandum is representative of all the textbooks that are used in the system and not one. If other schools are using the other textbooks, that memorandum of marking has to accommodate all the subjects, all the textbooks. I'm not aware, Marilu should be able to comment, I'm not aware of the new panel being having been appointed.
No, it's in the DBE's examining panel.
Oh.
They are the ones who have appointed the new panel, but our external moderation team is still the same team that we had yesterday.
Yeah. The Umalusi has not changed its team of external moderators. What has changed, according to Marilu, is that the department has changed its examiners. And my own sense would be that it is with a view of correcting the anomalies that occurred last year. I'll verify that with the DJ.
What I heard is not.
Can you see, Sean?
It's not the correction of the anomalies. It is the contract. Some, because it's a panel, part of the panel's contract have expired.
Oh.
So then they put in, it wasn't based on the findings, or rather on the issues of 2018.
Okay. Honorable Machesi, the form that you have just brought to my attention now in the attention of this honorable committee, I've not seen before. And Umalus would not endorse anything of the sort. We have to be non-partisan. We can't give preferential treatment to any union in the appointment of marking. And we are going to be following up on this matter. Zodo, you want to comment?
The form is not an application form, it's a nomination form. In terms of the selection panel, the panel must include union members. And in terms of ELRC, it's the SATU and the CTU, Combined Teachers Union. So those are the two unions that are recognized in terms of appointment of markers. So the form is basically saying that these are the candidates that are nominated. It reads as follows: summary of recommended applicants per school. So the people who have to sign the form for recommending the applicants is the deputy principal, it's the principal, and the member of the CTU union, and then the member of SATU, which are the two recognized unions for in terms of appointment of markers. It's not the same thing. It's a panel.
Can I, honourable members, can I just explain what Zoda is saying? What Zoda is saying is that at school level, for a person to be considered, the principal has to certify that this person meets certain requirements. That's the principal. Now, the deputy principal and the HOD also have to sign. Now, the unions represented at that school, and that will be a combination of unions under the banner of CTU, ATU, will also have to get their shop steward signing to say, yes, indeed, we know. Whether this person is our member or not, we know that he's got the necessary credentials. So will SATU. So SATU comes in as a standalone because of their numbers. CTU, ATU is a combination of unions. So I misread the form altogether because I was reading, looking at it. Zoda is highlighting that. It is just a form that says, these people from our school qualify. They qualify. And they recommend them to say they meet the criteria. Because my blood pressure was up when I saw. Now thanks to Zoda for calming my nerves.
It goes up with this blood pressure.
Sure. Now my doctor is going to complain that my blood pressure the whole day was going like this. So Chairperson, is just a school saying as a site, we know and we attest to these people qualifying and we recommend them to apply. So the shop stewards representing these unions will say, yes, we also attest, which is a transparent process. Because if it were to be done by the principal alone, the unions could say, but what you have said, principal, is not right. Yeah. We can take follow-up on the matter. Okay. Can I go on then and say, now, the point that I want to emphasize is that our processes are non-partisan. If they were to be partisan, then we're sitting with a big problem as a country. With regards, Honorable Aduans, okay, let me go back to Honorable King on the 495 risk examination centers. What is happening there, Marie-Louise is saying, where centers have been identified as risk centers, extra measures are put in place. For instance, the principal of a school, who's supposed to be the chief invigilator, will not be the chief invigilator. The department provincially would deploy somebody from outside to come and be a resident invigilator. Somebody who's neutral, not attached to mitigate that risk. So there are measures that are put in place to mitigate the risk. With regards to unaccredited centers, we can't leave the students in the lurch, that we appreciate, so some measures have to be put in place for now to allow them to write because they can't do the examination. But with regard to the schools themselves that are not accredited, they have to come to the party to meet the criteria, failing which they cannot register the candidates moving forward. Yeah. The issue of service delivery protests is an appeal that we make when we do the state of readiness and we talk to the South African public, that we can't, as a country, afford to compromise the education of our children. At the same time, there can never be guarantees. We can only make an appeal. However, the department has got backup question papers for students who, for one reason or the other, are not able to write, that they can write later on through the backup paper. Honorable Sewell, I think your question about the disclosure of the union affiliation has been answered. So with the frustration that we experience with Limpopo, with the finalization of irregularity cases, it is a very frustrating process because even when the people who have to investigate are in place. Sometimes learners frustrate the process by not coming. They don't turn up. Panels will be called from all over. Money will be spent. Learners don't turn up. And they have the process protracted to the point where ultimately after 2 years, 3 years, they then send us letters through the lawyers to say we must release the results. And when you go and investigate, you find that no, it is these learners, because there will be a record to say there was a meeting called, this is how the information was spread, they were called through their schools, there were radio announcements to say they must pitch up at this and that center. They ignore it because they know they are guilty. Then we get lawyers' letters, but we are dealing with the matters, accordingly. Shortage of markers. My sense is that there is a criteria, and if people don't meet the criteria, they can't be appointed, hence the shortage. But my sense is that even where there is a shortage, further applications should be called, and only people who qualify should be appointed. The arrangement between the Free State and some other province is a case in point where in their province, in this other province, they can't find a number of, the required number of markers. Now they are asking another province to assist, to say mark our scripts because we can't get the requisite number of qualified markers. Where the scanners are not working at any given time, it will compromise the process if they just continue, because then you'll not be able to account through the scanning system for some scripts. So the whole process will be futile. Where the scanners are not working, the process will have to be stopped, the scanners will have to be corrected, and then they'll have to scan moving forward so that we can be able to account for all the scripts. Otherwise, if there's going to be a gap where the scripts are lost, they'll not be traceable. Let me see, Chairperson, whether I've covered everything, unless the colleagues wants to add something. Thank you very much. Is that one?
I just want to add on the shortage of markers, because the challenge is usually in subjects with more than one paper. For example, with languages, it's three papers, and one teacher is responsible for teaching three papers. But when it comes to marking, you need three different people to mark those scripts. So it's usually in subjects with, like history with two papers, or where the norm time is longer, because there's a norm time for marking. If maybe the norm time is 30 minutes per hour, per script, that means you need more markers. Or if there are more papers, then you also need more markers. But the CEO has explained how the provinces put systems to mitigate the shortage of markers. Thank you.
Also, through you, Chair, the other issue that we have noticed when we did State of Readiness Now is that the applications are declining. Rather, they are now getting less and less. And the provinces say that some of the educators, because of the hard work they do during the year, they prefer to have their holidays. So instead of them going to the marking centers, they go on holiday with their families. So they receive less and less applications for marking.
There's another hand, Doc, there from your team.
Coming.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you to all honourable members. Coming back to fill on what the CEO and the executives have indicated, I'm going to touch on three issues raised by Ms. King. The first one is on high-risk centres. The CEO has highlighted what measures are in place. What we have managed to probe when we were doing the audit with the provinces, it was to actually get to understand how these high-risk centers will be closely be monitored. And one of the things is the examination runs for 6 weeks. For the centers that are identified as high risk, it must be that the provinces monitor a subject, all the sessions that will be conducted at those centers. In certain provinces, the provinces have established what we call designated centers, where the officials from the department will be the ones taking over the entire examination center to monitor or to administer that examination. Second to that, and that is invigilation, second to that is monitoring. There will be rotational monitors. One monitor might not stay in that particular identified center for the duration of the examination. They will rotate from every week or every day and through a particular management plan that we have managed to actually look at. The second part is on the contingency plan in terms of the disruptions that might come as a result of community protests. The provinces have got contingency plans in place where the SAPS and other security structures are also party to this particular examination. They have been brought on board, and there have been evidence of regular meetings that have been conducted and agreements that are there. For example, there is ProfJog that is there across almost all the provinces, which will actually highlight on daily basis and inform where there are a particular protests that are planned on a particular day. And on that, Umalusi will be updated on daily basis on the daily incidents as the examinations are taking place. So rest assured that this is one area that we are managing very closely as Umalusi. And my monitors will also be deployed to monitor where provinces have indicated that there will be a high risk center. In our planning, we have actually prioritized all the high risk centers as Umalusi as an oversight structure to deal with that. Lastly, the issue of scanning that Mpumalanga is introducing, it's an additional an innovation to strengthen the processes of script counting at the initial point when a candidate has just written exam. What will happen when the scanning is not functional, or there is power outages and so forth? The manual process that is taking place nationally across all the provinces. Remember, when a candidate writes in a center, the reconciliation of scripts is done manually at a center level. So that process will kick in. This is just to strengthen the manual process that the provinces are doing. And Mpumalanga is rolling out the scanning as a way of trying to curb the lost scripts that will lead to the provinces asking for concession on loss on missing script at the end of the marking. I hope we have adequately responded to those. Thank you.
Can I, with your permission, come back to this form? Because I want us to be very clear on this form. The principal of the school was not supposed to have signed this form if he suspected that it was partisan. So he's wrong himself to have signed something that he thought was partisan. But look at the form and what it says. It says, summary of the recommended applicants per school. Ne? And then it says the name of the school, the examinations that the person is recommended for, whether it is May, June, or October, November. Then it says the name of the applicant. It gives the name of the teacher. It gives the personal number. In this instance, this being a private school, is not applicable. It doesn't have a personal number. It says for which subject, it says mathematics. It says race, white. It says gender, female. That's all about the candidate that is being recommended. Then at the bottom of the form, to verify the authenticity of whatever is being declared up there, and recommended up there, it is the surname and initials of the principal and his signature and the date. The principal does not sign alone. He takes it to the deputy principal or HOD to sign and give the date. Then they call the union to say, union, what has as what we have said up there, correct? Mm. Union, CUT, ATU, which is a combination of unions. They sign. And then start to sign. And the principal then puts his stamp, school stamp on the school, to say, this is my school, I agree with this. This is authentic, it is just checks and balances. It's checks and balances in the system. Chairperson, I think I've adequately.
Please even yourself. Don't you? Okay. Just make a follow up, and let's allow you to make a follow up.
No. Okay. You know, like what would be interesting for me is that to find out if that form is common in all provinces.
Can I just come in?
Maybe if you can just explain a bit, how was it done in the past? Is it a new thing that is happening now, or what is it? Thank you.
Honorable members, as Mr. Thule just indicated, provinces are coming with their innovations to tighten the system. I'm seeing this form for the first time. I've not seen it before. And if KZN, for instance, came with this form to tighten the systems further, to say, we're getting information from the principal without union members having signed as representatives of the workers, so be it. But I leave that to Mr. Thule to answer whether it is happening in other provinces. But if they have it as an additional measure...
Where are they getting it?
Okay, I just want to say one thing. This for me, like if I was not a union member and as somebody from the union, I don't see why do you have to use that as an additional measurement. So I don't see why. If I'm not a union member, why should I have a statutory person coming and verifying? It just doesn't make sense.
Chairperson, can we help?
I've been a high school principal for more than 30 years. Can we help? Brothers and sisters, honorable members, let me tell you what is happening at schools. We have got a challenge. I think that innovation is in order. Let me tell you. We have got a challenge in schools where teachers leave the scripts of internal examinations unmarked in the name of going out for marking external papers without the knowledge of the principal and whoever. This thing is happening. So I think whoever came with that, you see, when it was first raised, I wrote here that if indeed there are principals or institutions which are encouraging and bringing teacher union politics in appointment of markers, it would be the beginning of the disaster. That is what I wrote here. And I further continue to write that we are having the following organization in the majority of our schools. We have got SATU, we have got NOTU, we have got BEU, we have got what we call people who are agency payers. Agency payers are those who do not belong to any teacher organizations. And they know they pay a high levy compared to those who are unionized. So in the light of this, to avoid frustrations to the principals, who often just hear somebody saying, I've got an appointment letter. You don't even know how the appointment letter came and all. Look here, when teachers apply, they apply individually. But the bottom line is, you cannot just because you got an approval due to the fact that somebody senior at the marking level knows you, just come and show the principal a letter of appointment and say, I'm going to mark it. The principal must approve that. But this one has taken it even further to say, when you apply, we must know.
And there's when the appointment, and then you apply so that you qualify to go and mark. When the approval comes, you also produce the approval that the application which you approved when I applied now has come back, and I am now going to mark. And we would even say the one condition, you can't go out and mark and leave the pack of internal scripts at school unattended to. So this control measure is in order, and I don't see anything wrong in that. Thank you.
The principal has closed now the mic. Who is the principal again? You are both principals. Let us all out. No, principal are the last ones to close. Let's close this matter. Please, let's just say... Honorable King.
Business studies, I just need to find out for this exam, will it be two papers or one? I remember it was going to be split up into two question papers. So I've had this question from some business studies educators, grade 10 level, because they worried going further how it's going to be, given I was also a business studies teacher at all matric level. And then I just want to throw in my penny's worth in what was said. Being also a senior marker at one stage for business studies, you do find at the marking center that most of the educators who come and mark, which I've experienced, they don't even know the content of the subject, but they were approved. No? You sit, they can't even mark on time. They sleep. We end up marking the scripts because we need the children to get the best quality marks they deserve in a marking center. It happens. You will also find that most of those educators were not even supposed to be there. They didn't meet the criteria. I've spoken to some of them, and I was a SATU union rep once. They get in through the back door because SATU has influence to get people they want into that marking center. So let's not say it does not happen. It creeps in. People go into that marking center that are not supposed to be there to mark. So I just wanted to throw in my penny's worth. I'm not saying that the Umalusi is not ready, but I do say politics come into play.
Doc, I don't know if I think some other things, let's allow them just to pass through and not respond to them, because we will never finish if we allow that to continue, because the version from the other would really be different. I would have my own version, even if I'm not a teacher. I know nothing about this. You know, I think that let us not be political. Just deal with what you think needs to be dealt with, and then let's close the meeting. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. I'll respond to the business studies issue first. The business studies, the approval of the changing in the subject structure to two papers was approved in 2017, which means then the two papers were introduced in 2018 in grade 10, 2019 in grade 11, so grade 12, it will be 2020. So in 2020, we will have two papers, but for 2019, we still have one paper. Then the second one, honorable member, this form actually is meant to address the same problem that you have. Because with this form now, you don't have people going through the back door, as the honorable member has indicated. The principal signs to attest to the competency level or to the criteria that this person meets the criteria. And in any system you will have loopholes, but this form is to address exactly the same problem that you have of appointing people that do not meet the criteria.
Thank you very much, honorable members. Thank you very much, Doc, and your team. All the best for the processes that you're going to take towards the examinations. till they are announced next year. We've heard your vision, and we can I just close the meeting? Can I just close the meeting and then let our blood go up again and down? Let me just close it. We had the your state of readiness, as Malusi. We'll tomorrow get from DPE, and I think then we will be fine. That our country is ready to sit for the exams 2019. Thank you very much. The meeting is now adjourned. There is lunch arranged, so if you are not so.